भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 टू 15। दिस राम द लॉर्ड्स वॉरियर इनकार्नेशन। साधितः सत्यवत्या मयि मयिवम्बूर् इति भार्गवः। तत्तर्हि भवेत् पौत्रो जमदग्निस्ततो भव। सत्यवती हैव पैसिफाइड ऋचिक मुनि विथ पीसफुल वर्ड्स एंड रिक्वेस्टेड दैट हर सन नॉट बी लाइक फियर क्षत्रिय। ऋचिक मुनि रिप्लाइड, देन योर ग्रैंड सन विल बी ऑफ अ क्षत्रिय स्पिरिट। Thus Jamadagni was born as the son of Satyavati, purported by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Ruchika was very angry, but somehow or other Satyavati pacified him, and at her request he changed his mind. It is indicated here that the son of Jamadagni would be born as Parshuram. Translation: Satyavati later became the sacred river Kaushiki to purify the entire world, and her son Jamadagni married Renuka, the daughter of Renu. By the semen of Jamadagni, many sons, headed by Vasuman, were born from the womb of Renuka. The youngest of them was named Ram or Parshuram. Learned scholars accept this Parshuram as the celebrated incarnation of Vasudeva, who annihilated the dynasty of Kartivirya. Parshuram killed all the Kshatriyas on earth 21 times. Next, when the royal dynasty, being excessively proud because of the material modes of passion and ignorance, became irreligious and ceased to care for the laws enacted by the Brahmanas, Parshuram killed them. Although their offense was not very severe, he killed them to lessen the burden of the world. Purport: The Kshatriyas or the ruling class must govern the world in accordance with the rules and regulations enacted by great Brahmanas and saintly persons. As soon as the ruling class becomes irresponsible in regard to the religious principles, it becomes a burden on the earth. As stated here, Rajastamo Vratam Bharam Abhramanyam. When the ruling class is influenced by the lower modes of nature, namely ignorance and passion, it becomes a burden to the world and must then be annihilated by superior power. We actually see from the modern history that monarchies have been abolished by various revolutions. Very apt purport. But unfortunately, the monarchies have been abolished to establish the supremacy of third class and fourth class men. All the monarchies overpowered by the modes of passion and ignorance have been abolished in the world. The inhabitants of the world are still unhappy. For although the qualities of the former monarchs were degraded by taints of ignorance, these monarchs have been replaced by men of the mercantile and worker classes, whose qualities are even more degraded. When the government is actually guided by the Brahmanas, or God-conscious men, then there can be real happiness for the people. Therefore, in previous times, when the ruling class was degraded to the modes of passion and ignorance, the Brahmanas, headed by such a Kshatriya-spirited Brahmanas as Parshuram, killed them 21 consecutive times. In Kali Yuga, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu, the ruling class will be no better than plunderers, because the third class and fourth class men will monopolize the affairs of the government. Ignoring the religious principles and Brahminical rules and regulations, they will certainly try to plunder the riches of the citizens without consideration. As stated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, असंस्कृतः क्रियाहीना रजसा तमसा वृतः प्रजास्ते भक्षयिष्यन्ति मलेच्छा राजन्य रूपिण। बीइंग अनप्यूरिफाइड, निग्लेक्टिंग द डिस्चार्ज ह्यूमन ड्यूटीज प्रॉपरली एंड बीइंग इन्फ्लुएंस्ड बाय द मोड्स ऑफ पैशन एंड इग्नोरेंस, अनक्लीन पीपल पोजिंग एज मेंबर्स ऑफ द गवर्नमेंट विल स्वॉलो द सिटीजन्स। एंड इन स्टिल अनदर प्लेस श्रीमद भागवतम सेज, एवं प्रजाभीर दुष्टभीर आकिरणे क्षितिमंडले ब्रह्मविद क्षत्र शूद्राणाम यो बलि भविता नृपः प्रजाहि लुब्धहि राजन्यर् निर्घ्नैर् दस्यु धर्मभि आछिन्ना दारद्रविणा यश्यन्ति गिरिकाननम्। Human society is naturally grouped into four divisions as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnam Maya Sristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. But if the system is neglected and the qualities and divisions of society are not considered, the result will be Brahma with Kshatra Shudranam Yo Bali Bhavita Nrpa. The so-called caste system of Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishya and Shudra will be meaningless. As a result, whoever, some or other, becomes powerful will be the king or president. And thus the prajas or citizens will be so harassed that they will give up hearth and home and will go to the forest. Yashanti Giri Kananam. To escape harassment by government officials who have no mercy and are addicted to the ways of plunderers. Therefore the prajas or the people in general must take to Krishna consciousness movement. The Hare Krishna movement, which is the sound incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now appeared as an incarnation by His holy name. Therefore, when the prajas become Krishna conscious, they can then expect a good government and good society, a perfect life and liberation from the bondage of material existence. Hare Krishna. The newspaper article for the modern, you know, revolution which is going on, means fresh. Prabhupada is speaking from the present point of view also, that how in the Mahabharata it is explained that in the previous time there was no law and there was no king and there was no kingdom. Why? Because dharma was prevailing. Because dharma was prevailing, then you don't need kingdom, you don't need kings, you don't need law. But in Kali Yuga, there are more systems. There are more organized system, but there is no dharma. So therefore, it is not about which system we follow, it is about what is the intention behind the system. Very precisely, concisely, very clearly Prabhupada is talking about. In another place he mentions, the monarchies are bad, but now you have more people who are bad. Democracy means more people. Like we were in Tirupati recently, and then they were mentioning that Lord Balaji has 40,000 worth jewelry. People said, my God, so much. Now Balaji is being worshipped for so many years, hundreds of years, and he has accumulated only 40,000 crore wealth in regards to jewelry. And one minister, just within 2 years, you know, he squandered 1,80,000 crores. In India, 1,80,000 crore he squandered. Can you imagine? 1,80,000 crore. Which is 40, what is 40,000 and what is 1,80,000 crore? The government is missing that money. That money is gone. And before that there was some other scam. And then this another king, monarchical ruler, Husni Mubarak, his wealth was $70 billion. So when Krishna has 40,000 crores, people raise their eyebrows. How can God have so much? But just see how much hard work he had to do to collect that much. Thousands of years of, you know, devotees coming and giving it to him. And that is also squandered. Many, you know, politicians have squandered that money. But that is only that much he has. But here, one ruler ruled a small country, a poor country, and he accumulates how much? $70 billion. How much is $70 billion into rupees? Any chartered accountants and accountants here? $70 billion. $1 billion is about 5,000 crores. Right? 70 into 5,000 crores. How much, Prabhuji? 350,000 crore. We can't even write, I think. So much of money. So therefore, here we see that unless one becomes Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada mentions, unless one practices dharma, whatever system we follow, it is not going to work. Therefore, in the Varnashram system, the division of society was there so that you have less work and more time for spirituality. In Kali Yuga, every time, every situation is made into an emergency. When every situation and every circumstance is made into an emergency, then we feel, okay, let us push spiritual life for tomorrow, because it is not this time. Because I need to do this also, I need to do that also. Many things I need to do. So when you have to do many things, and there is no time, naturally the time is not there for spiritual practice. Like when the Britishers came to India, they were fascinated by two things. One is the free distribution of food and free education. This Annadan and Vidyadan, because these two things were free, then you don't need to struggle for education, you don't need to struggle for food. When you don't struggle for food, when you don't struggle for education, you need to struggle for something, because we have our active senses, we have our knowledge acquiring senses. Yesterday we were discussing in our afternoon class, one of our devotee brahmachari from Nigdi, he left his body, he had a cancer, 31-year-old, very active, he was a physical trainer, he had degree in physical training. So when he left his body, we went to visit him. I was watching, entire the function of his body had stopped. His leg was swollen like a big log of wood. He was not able to move. The whole body was, you know, broken down. But his two hands were functioning. And it was quite amusing to see how he was moving his hands. He was indicating everything to his hands. He wanted some water. He was calling devotees. I can't forget how he was moving his hands. Very alert through his senses of these hands. Because if the desire is there to work, to be active, and rest of your body is not functioning, even one part of your body is functioning, all your energy is directed to that senses. And those senses become very active. He was very active. Both hands were extremely active. When Jamuna Mataji came to meet him, and was very interesting, he was naturally on the bed, lying down, everything was done on the bed only. Only thing, he would come up little bit and go down. And then when she came, within 2-3 minutes he got very restless. He became very... Then he was telling the caretakers, he was making some hand gestures. They were not able to understand. Then he called me and Shyamananda Prabhu, "Come here, come here." Again, both hands. Like a royal king, moving his hands, calling. And then he grabbed our hands. There was strength in his hands. Even the body was like a stick. It's quite strange to see. You know, the entire body had become like a stick, but the leg is like bigger than his body size. How material body becomes disintegrated by the power of disease. But still, the soul and the desire is so powerful. He grabbed our hands and he was saying, "Take me down, take me down, take me down." He was not saying, but he was, you know, making that gesture, "Take me down." But then one servant, one of his caretakers said in Hindi, slowly, "Prabhuji, isko nahi le ja sakte." He spoke and he became very upset. "You keep quiet." He raised his fingers to his mouth. He said, "You keep quiet. I want to go down." And nobody understood why he wants to go down. And eventually, after staying there for 5-10 minutes, Yamuna Mataji, you know, she was on the wheelchair. She moved out of the room and then he became peaceful. Then myself and Shyamananda immediately realized why he wanted to get down was because he was thinking his bed was higher than her seat, her chair. His bed was higher than her chair and she was lower than him, so he wanted to be lower than her. Even in that disease condition, his knowledge acquiring senses, his wisdom, his Vaishnava principles were very extremely alert, and through his physical senses he was indicated, "Bring me down, bring me down." When she went away, she was pacified. He was pacified. Shyamananda told, "No, she has gone now, she has gone. You be here now." So the point is, we see that when emergency is created, then what happens? Then all our energy is placed on working on that emergency. Let us deal with this one. And Kali Yuga means in every situation, like I was quite amused and, you know, quite shocked also, like for 10th standard exam, when we were appearing, now the 10th standard exams are going on. We know our parents would wish, they would tell, "Okay, go to the temple, take blessings." But I don't remember any parents coming to the school. You remember your parents coming? No parents coming to your school. Gaurangpur's mother was telling me when I went to their home. He would tell his mother, "Don't stand at the gate also. Stand inside only. I will go myself to the school for exam. So this kind of over attention was not given. There was a natural detachment in caring also. You are caring your child, you are looking after your child, but it is not to the extent where you are the controller. Even our devotee parents, our children were telling, they come, the mothers come, causing more anxiety to the children. And they stay 3 hours at the school. Some parents go around the school, I think, doing chanting, Hare Krishna. That's good, you know, people are caring. But then when you create such kind of concern, where if I don't go, something will happen to my son. If I don't go, something will happen to my daughter. Overprotection to the extent where the child becomes irritated. So therefore we see here that Varanashram means what? That a Brahmana is happy doing his work. Even though Kshatriya may not be doing his job, he doesn't think, okay, I have to be Kshatriya now. Emergency has come. Rarely, once in a while, extremely rare cases, this could happen. When this does not happen, and a Brahmana acts like a Brahmana, Kshatriya acts like a Kshatriya, you can't expect a Kshatriya to give a Bhagavatam class. Why? Because then he will speak not a Bhagavatam class, he will speak war. And you can't expect the Brahmana to go into the battlefield and, you know, fight. Why? Because the ultimate conclusion is that you perform your duties according to your nature, but the rest of your time you dedicate for a spiritual realization. Overcome that emergency. So therefore when they came, we'll go back to the point, when they saw the schools are free, food is free, then there was plenty time for practicing spiritual life. Prabhupada explains that during the Second World War, there was artificial famine created. Why artificial famine created? The stock of rice was there, limitless stock of rice was there, but the government thought, which is exactly opposite of a religious government. A religious government would never do stock and withdraw the stock from the people to the extent where people don't get rice. They could never do that. In the Ramayana it is explained, Dasharat Maharaj, there was a drought in Ayodhya for 12 years. Even in the religious kingdom there was a chance of drought. But for 11 years there was no problem of grains for the people. Why? Because the king would stock grains for 12 years. Only on the 11th year there would be panicking. Till 11th year they had sufficient grains, sufficient water. Only in the 12th year there could be a difficulty. Now here in Bombay, if you don't get rains for 1 year if there is no rain, you know, the flat price will come down like anything. Why? Because 1 year no rains means there is no supply for that season also. Why the kings would do like this? That they would supply grains and water so that your other work, the most important work of practicing devotional service, is not minimized. In the Sword of Knowledge, Prabhupada writes that then when grains were withdrawn by the government during the Second World War, for the rice, for the sake of rice, people are joining the army. Now you don't join the army because of rice sake. You don't join ashram for the sake of eating chapati. If that is the purpose of joining the army and joining the ashram, you can imagine what kind of warriors and what kind of sages you will have. Their intention of joining the army and joining the ashram is so low, just to fulfill the needs of filling their belly. And they can't make best warriors. A warrior joins the army because he is very much interested in protecting the citizens. Yuyutsava. Yuyutsava means one who is desirous for fighting on the good side. That is his desire. Therefore a warrior, when he is fighting on the battlefield, one of the desire he has, even Karna, when he had a discussion with Krishna and he did not accept Krishna's proposal, the Lord gave him the proposal to fight on the side of the Pandavas. Then eventually said, my Lord, I have one desire from you. Krishna said, what is that? He said, on this battlefield of Kurukshetra, please see that we don't die in our camp. We want to die on the battlefield. Because dying in the camp, in the hospital, is like below their dignity. No, we want to die on the battlefield only because I am a Kshatriya. So similarly, because when you create something and make a necessity, and for fulfilling that necessity you have to take some higher occupation like Kshatriya and Brahminical culture, then you degrade that occupation also. Brahminical occupation is degraded, Kshatriya occupation is degraded. And then spiritual life becomes luxury. Arre, come on, you have enough food to eat. One of the complaints of people is that only those who have sufficient to eat, only those who have sufficient education, in ISKCON we see mostly qualified people come to Krishna consciousness. Others also come if they understand the philosophy. But that is the trend. When people come and see, oh, you're all, you know, you have good food to eat, you're all educated. But that is the purpose. The original psychology of Vedic system was, it's the government's duty to provide the basic necessities. And then rest, you perform your devotional life. So when they saw this, they have enough food to eat and free education, and therefore they are able to practice spiritual life without the anxiety. So when there is no anxiety, chanting Hare Krishna becomes very easy. Even the best of the devotee, if he is in constant anxiety all the time, thinking about how to get the money for the running the temple, how to get people for running the temple, how to fix that, how to fix this, all the time, if he is burdened by these things, then it is extremely difficult for him to sit in a place and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So therefore the king's responsibility was to make people's life luxurious so that they can easily practice devotional life. But when it is made difficult, then we cannot practice bhakti. Therefore Prabhupada, why he said simple living and high thinking? When we have a complicated living, you cannot think high. You only can think about where is the bread, where is the butter, where is the bread, where is the butter. When we are asking this question, where is rice, where is rice, where is rice, where is kerosene, where is wood? And the requirement, one cannot chant Hare Krishna every day if there is no food to eat, there is no oil, there is no grain, there is no wood. Naturally it becomes next stage. So therefore, how Varnashram? Varnashram is a perfect material system. But that perfect material system was there not just for being a perfect material system. Rather, this perfect material system was there so that your spiritual life becomes much easy to practice. Becomes much easy to practice. When Robert Clive, he came to India, in Bengal especially, he saw one human being equivalent to 10 cows. So there is no question of slaughtering cows. There is no question of buying milk from somewhere else. You don't buy milk. You know, use milk, and if there is leftover, you convert into butter, into ghee. And then during the festival, Abhishek. I remember once we were in Pandharpur, by our Vittal temple. And they were offering milk to Vittal. And Vittal is not as wealthy as Balaji. Even among the Lord there is, you know, poor Lord and rich Lord. So, Lord Vittal is not as rich as Balaji. So they are offering Kakadarthi, you know, the Abhishek was going on. And large amount of milk was being offered to the Lord. And one old Maharashtrian lady, she was sitting there watching the Abhishek. And she screamed out of affection only in Marathi, Are are, hala dud! Abhishek sati ane amala cha punya sati pan dud nahi. She said that just see, he is bathing with milk and we don't have milk for our tea also. She is saying out of affection, no doubt, but still, because there is a scarcity of milk, that becomes like waste of milk, that you are using so much of milk for your bathing. No, because there is plenty of milk. And the Shastras say, whatever you have, it is not that Krishna is demanding milk. Nowhere Krishna says, I want milk for my bathing. And usually it is not very reasonable also, when you bathe with milk, you need to have water also. Because what does milk do? Milk creates stickiness. And yogurt, what to speak of yogurt? And what to speak of ghee? And honey? Now, all these ingredients, when you bathe Lord with all these ingredients, it is not very comfortable in one sense, physically speaking. I remember one time we were doing Abhishek, many years back, of Maharaj, Radhanand Maharaj, in Pune Yatra. And one devotee had ghee. You know, and ghee is supposed to be liquid, but ghee was quite solid, and they are placing on his foot. It was so uncomfortable. And if you have a ghee, and you should pour hot water, but instead it was winter season, they poured cold water, and it became more sticky. So extremely uncomfortable. So it is not that Krishna wants, but a devotee of the Lord feels, what is this ghee? What is this milk? What is this honey? Krishna is so great, Krishna is so powerful. Even if you bathe Krishna with Amrit, it is less only. So to prove Krishna's great position, we bathe Krishna with milk, honey, yogurt. Not that he says, I want that. He is happy with little water also. He is happy with tears also. When Draupadi was in that dilemma, why Krishna did not come to protect me after the disrobing incident? They had lost everything. They had nothing. In fact, the Kurus, you know, stripped off their clothes also. The Pandavas were made to walk out of the Hastinapur with one cloth, ekavastra. So there was nothing for them to offer to Krishna when Krishna came to them. And Draupadi was crying. And then Vyasadeva explains that what did she offer to Krishna? How did she worship Krishna? Because when Krishna comes, you are supposed to worship. There was nothing at their disposal to worship Krishna. So Vyasadeva explained, Draupadi worshipped Krishna with tears of her eyes. Architoham Draupadiya. That she worshipped Krishna with tears of her eyes. So Krishna is happy with that. But a devotee wants to offer this to Krishna out of his own love and affection. Like, you know, when you offer, devotees want to offer diamond necklace, offer golden necklace for Krishna, our Dr. Alva. Now most of his money is spent on buying Shaligram Shilas and doing big festivals and going to this place, that place. Not that Krishna says, okay, you have to come every week to Tirupati. Not that he says, you come every week to Balaji. That is the heart of a devotee. So he can do like that. It is not demanded by the Supreme Lord. He says, even Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Very simple. Prabhupada explains, why leaves? Because they are available everywhere. These four items in the previous time, they were easily available. Patram, leaves are easily available. Pushpam. Nowadays pushpam, flowers, are so difficult. You know, to arrange Pushyabhishek festival, I remember one time, as every year we were doing Pushyabhishek festival, one Ukrainian, Croatian devotee had come. He was the president of the temple. So I asked him, so you'll introduce Pushyabhishek festival in your temple? He said, I'll have to sell the temple for buying few flowers. Because each flower will cost 5 euros. So to buy this amount of flowers, he said, we'll have to sell the temple. 1,000 kilos of flowers and then so much of decoration. You know, he said, we can't afford. Actually, we saw in one temple that there is no garland for the speaker. There is no garland for the deities. There is one garland, you know, used for 2-3 days. Why? Because the flowers are very costly. So Krishna doesn't say, if you don't offer flower to me, I am very dissatisfied. The whole point here is, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, it is available in plenty. Therefore Krishna says, give it to me. Anything which is available in large quantity, which is offerable to Krishna, give it to him. Now even water is very rare. So sometimes some people, out of ritualistic understanding, oh, Krishna requires water. Krishna requires Ganga water. What do? When they fly from one country to another country, you know, doing some katha, you know, they carry large amount of Ganga water, making everything a costly affair. The devotional service, the ritual of worshipping God, becomes extremely complicated. Like somebody asked Prabhupada, I think in Detroit. They said, Prabhupada, we should worship Krishna, we should bathe Krishna with, one should accept Tirtha of Ganga. But in America, where do we get Tirtha? Where do we get Ganga Tirtha? He said, what is Ganga water? He said, Ganga water means what emanates from Krishna's lotus feet. He said, when you bathe Krishna, whether in Detroit or anywhere, what happens? When you bathe Krishna, all the water from the top of his lotus head to lotus feet, it is all covered. So that water which is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord may be collected from, the Hudson River in New York and then goes at the feet of the Lord. When you collect that water becomes Ganga. As simple as that. So don't create a complexity in regard to worshipping the Lord. When we create complexity in worshipping the Lord, people feel, okay, bhakti is very complicated. Krishna does not come in our life to create burden. Krishna comes in our life to remove our burden. He is not there to increase our burden. So that's what the religious kings would do. The religious saintly person would do, that they would take all the burden because they had the power to handle unlimited responsibility and be focused on their spiritual activities also. But the general class of people cannot handle unlimited burden. So make their life more simple so that they can chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But when that does not happen, when the Kshatriyas act contrary to what they are supposed to act, the Brahmanas act contrary to what they are supposed to act, everything becomes hodgepodge, then Parshuram has to come. And when Parshuram comes, it is not very easy. It was even like Mahaprabhu, Patra, Patra Nadeki, qualified, unqualified, everybody gets mercy. Similarly, Parshuram, whether you are a good Kshatriya or bad Kshatriya, everybody got killed. It's not that every Kshatriya was responsible for the criminal activities. But then what happens? Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained when Ramchandra Khan, he offended Nityanand Prabhu. Very interesting point, because he offended Nityanand Prabhu, it is not only Ramchandra Khan was punished. By the very act of Ramchandra Khan's irresponsible behavior, all of them, because some or other, they were connected as what? They must have said many times, I also from Ramchandra Khan's village only. We want to identify with people. We show our identification. I belong to the same village. But something bad happened, then we say, why happened to me? I was not responsible. No, somewhere at some point of time, we had identified ourselves. Identifying with something or some big thing also makes us responsible for going for the reaction. So the entire village got destroyed. Not one day, repeatedly for many days, the Mlechas came and they destroyed the entire village, they slaughtered the cows, they looted. So the entire village had to be suffering for one person's sinful activities. So therefore, Kshatriyas became responsible for bad behavior. So once you take that pride, I am a Kshatriya, then whether you are a good Kshatriya or a bad Kshatriya, along with Kartivir Arjuna, the entire Kshatriya race, not for one time, 21 times got destroyed. A very interesting lesson to learn. Entire thing was destroyed. So just see that sometimes, even though we don't do something wrong, but because we are connected to certain thing, then we also suffer, and we can't avoid that suffering. That suffering is not coming because of our own karma, that suffering is coming because of our connection. By some means we are connected, and we can't avoid that connection. That connection has to stay. So the entire Kshatriya race, 21 times got destroyed. 21 times got destroyed. Then again, from the Brahmanas class, again the Kshatriya class had to be revived. Here Prabhupada explains very beautifully. Our Ravindra Saraprabhu was giving on seminar. In that seminar he was mentioning that how that revolution has taken place in the Western world, especially in Europe. Before it was monarchical rule. They were the powerful people guided by the priests. But the priests became very exploitative. Therefore, the monarchs, they rebelled against the priest. The entire Church of England was started by the British king only because he didn't like the way they were operating. And then eventually the French Revolution was created by the vices. And in Russia the Tsars were becoming corrupt. So then the Communist Revolution took place. So you see, the Brahmanas corrupted, the Kshatriyas rebelled against them. And the Kshatriyas corrupted, the Vaishyas rebelled against them. And the Vaishyas got corrupted, then the Communists rebelled against them. But whoever rebelled, but their mentality did not change. Dharma never came. Dharma was kept aside. But because Dharma was kept aside, whichever system came, all systems caused greater and greater torture to the general class of people. But when there is a combination and proper detachment, a Kshatriya performs his duty. Like if you study history also, for example, Shivaji Maharaj, he was a great king. But why he became great king? Because there was proper guidance from two saintly people, Ramdas Swami and Tukaram Maharaj. Just because they had the power to control the king, they did not interfere into the affairs of the state. They continued performing their bhajans. Whenever he came, they guided him as less as possible, as much as required. But once he went away, they did not make their own setup. Okay, now the king is under our control. Let us get into politics also. No, they would have it destroyed and spoiled. They maintained their spiritual connection. And he maintained his... In fact, one time Shivaji Maharaj told Tukaram Maharaj, I'm done with this material life. And I don't want to do all this thing. I want to join you. I want to do Harinam all the time. The immature sadhu would have said, like sometime happens, you know, a brahmachari may say, okay, join. Very good, joining is good. So Tukaram Maharaj could have said, yes, very good. Give up your sword, give up your kingdom, hold tal kartal and join me. He said, no, you are a kshatriya and your duty is to help us. Your duty is to help us. We will give us the vision. We will give you the vision. You practice your life. We will practice our life and combine, we can create a revolution. And they did. The revolution was created. For whatever years, you know, Tukaram Maharaj's abhangs were in everybody's lips. Therefore, when the Britishers came, they wanted to see what is the system in Maharashtra. He said, go and see what do they do to maintain their spiritual practices. How can we change their faith? And one British missionary said, as long as this book is there in their hands, as long as they chant these verses, he said, you can't change them. It is not possible. And how? You know, it's not that it was an organized way of distribution, because the system was there by reciting the verses, by chanting the verses, by chanting abhangas. Everybody at everybody's place and everybody's mouth while working, while doing something, you know, they're working with their hands, but reciting with their mouth. As Krishna instructed Arjuna, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanusmara Yuddhacha. Such a brilliant piece of advice. That with your physical hands, you keep performing your duties, your working senses, with your knowledge acquiring senses, but in your heart, you continuously remember me. Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanusmara Yuddhacha. Mayarpada Manubuddhir. So when you offer all that results to me, then it is guaranteed the success in this world and success in the spiritual world. So therefore, one of the most brilliant purports where Prabhupada talks about how if we can guide the kings. Therefore, he had all that guts to go to Indira Gandhi and telling that every day for 2 hours, all the MPs should chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the parliament. It may sound so impractical to give that advice, but that advice was not based upon the present situation, the present experience, what she was going through, but based upon the legacy of Vedic culture. Even when we read, we feel, you know, how could he say like that? How is it possible for them to do it? But when you go and see what was the Vedic culture, what was the tradition, what was the system, The system was our kings had done it. Our ministers had done it. The commander, the army people had done it. They had spent at least few hours worshipping the Lord and then doing their responsibilities. So it should have been much easier with efficient system, the computer, telex, and IAS officers, IPS officers, for the ministers. Anyway, they don't do anything. No, they don't know anything. Therefore, they have all the time to chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada telling them to chant 2 hours Hare Krishna, following the four regulative principles, attending the Bhagavatam class. If they could do it, he gave that very, you know, very practically, as if this is what they are supposed to do. When I read first time Lilamara that part, he said, my God, how can he give impractical advice like that? How can they do it? But when you look back, then you realize, no, he is speaking based upon his legacy, what it represents. He represents the Rishikulas, he represents the sadhus. And the sadhus had advised the kings, this is what you should do. This is what you should be doing. Like Vasishta, when Vishwamitra Muni came to Dasharatha Maharaj, and Dasharatha Maharaj very liberal, whatever you want you take. Vishwamitra Muni said, give me your son. Oh, that I can't give. He said, I can't give that, it is not possible. Immediately backed out. And Vishwamitra Muni became very angry. But then Vasishtha said, no, give your son to him. So without any hesitation, Dasharatha Maharaj was so attached to his son, he was making a huge, you know, hue and cry because of his great affection for Ram. When Vasishtha told him, give your son to Vishwamitra Muni, he had such a confidence. He immediately gave his son to Vishwamitra Muni. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam also, when all the demigods came, they kidnapped Kayadu. Basically they kidnapped for whatever reason. And they wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj when he would come out of the womb. And Narad Muni came. Now how does Narad Muni know? But they had the faith in Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, no, in this womb, there is a great Mahabhagavat. He said, he will not harm any demigods. Release her. Just see what a faith demigods had. Their experience is that from a bad father, from the demon's family, you don't expect Mahabhagavat to come. Generally that doesn't happen. So logically Narad Muni was wrong to say that. But the faith of the demigods was so strong when they heard that from Narad Muni, immediately released. That kind of faith they had in the sadhus. So therefore, based upon that principle, Prabhupada told that to Indira Gandhi. But she was not from that legacy of kings like Dasharatha Maharaj, kings like, you know, Shivaji Maharaj. She never implemented, neither her future successors ever implemented. So therefore, in our own way, you know, if we cannot change them, at least, you know, keep flapping our hands and legs, trying to give people Krishna consciousness, whether they are big politicians or small children studying in Gopal's garden, in kindergarten, make them chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.